Hello and welcome to Espacito, an Esper Genesis podcast. It's me once again, John Jefferson Knight. Last episode I said Tom was either having a baby or ignoring my messages. Well, it turns out he was ignoring my messages. He hadn't had a baby then, but he has had a baby now, which is awfully exciting, I'm sure you'll agree. I'm actually also recording this from my car because I'm working in Newcastle this week, which is, you know, not the ideal place to record an introduction, but there you go. Welcome to this week's episode. Unfortunately, we had some issues with Windows 10 ruining our recording software, so the sound's a little bit shitty, so I apologise for that. Please try and bear with us. If not, let us know and we'll just write a recap of what happens. Obviously, as Tom's had a baby, we're probably going to have a bit of a pause. We'll keep you updated on that on all of our social medias and whatnot. But yeah, that's enough of me talking at you, so here's more of me talking at you, but this time in a character voice. I don't use a voice. You may have noticed. I don't really use it. Okay, have fun.
The way I see it, we have three options, and I think we should go to the Infinity Core. I've been looking over the data on that ship. I mean, we need to find a weakness. Maybe if we found someone who knows something about it, maybe this Naru, Brzechi Naru character, maybe they could tell us some about it. Vajrilla herself would pay half of her company to get her hands on something like this. If we sold this story to her, we could buy a new ship. A ship maybe good enough to get ourselves in at the Tattered Spire. Maybe even fit out the Luciola with some fancy stealth tag. So if we start with the level-ups, we can go on to the beautiful narrative that I'm weaving throughout the stars. So yeah, Mike, talk to me. How's Pax feeling? How's he leveled up?
Yeah, Pax has been all right. He's feeling confident. He didn't really go down much. Well, he did a little, but not as much as usual. So he's feeling a little bit more confident.
Yeah, we actually had a bit of a message from one of our listeners, actually. Who's pointed out that we definitely got those rules wrong there, which is my fault. I had, because we did talk about this briefly, but they pointed out that I'd essentially forgot the auto crit rule, which is if you're downed, a hit on you is an automatic crit if it's within 5 feet, and therefore it counts as two failures. So technically, Pax should have probably have been killed there.
So he's cheated death.
He's just like that.
What do we say for the god of death? Not today.
Sending in his son.
Same time next week.
So yeah, he's feeling good, confident. He now can attack twice. It's an extra attack. And that's pretty much it for his level up. I think he's had quite a chill time on the ship, which we'll see later.
And your efficiency's gone up, hasn't it?
Yeah, so it's now +3. And also, he's going to use this time to link with his Yurumi sword that he picked up in the facility. But he can only have two weapons, so he has to unlink with one of his sabers. And he's chosen to unlink with his saber, Matilda, named after his wife.
Because he's totally over her.
He's moving on.
That's it. Okay, cool. D4, where's D4 at?
So D4's been feeling a bit after last session and the last event that took place in the facility. He's a bit panicked about his ability to be able to help his friend. He nearly watched Pax get mauled by a creature and didn't do anything except try and knock it out, which he deeply regrets and realizes that was a poor tactical choice. So he's been owning his engineering skills and concentrating on becoming better at protecting and healing his friends, which also includes mechanical constructs. Because for some reason, as an engineer, I am far better at healing humans than humanoid creatures than I am mechanical creatures. which seems backwards to me, but it default's taking it in his stride. I've also become more proficient as well. So that's a plus 3 proficiency, so I'm, 5% better at engineering. It's pretty good. And I can now, I think, destroy robots quite easily, or at least weak robots. It's like Turn Undead, but for robots.
But in space.
But in space. Or I guess it doesn't have to be in space, as long as there's robots around.
So if Damson really pisses you off, you can just turn undead on him.
I mean...
Also, can I coin it now? So. That rather than turn undead, we call it turn it off and on again.
Sold.
That's it, boys. I'm done for the entire podcast now.
Yeah, I'm just going to sit here and listen to you. Now. Yeah, so, okay, Damson, how's Damson feeling? How's he leveled up?
Damson hasn't been around much. He's screwed away in his cabin and only coming out for very furtive breaks. And he also has become more proficient and has also learned how to uncannily dodge.
Okay, well, that's exciting. And Jefferson?
Okay, so Jefferson, obviously, particularly unhappy with Pat killing Nero. And he's spent a lot of time in his bunk fixating on that and fixating on his inability to stop the destruction of the Callistus, his inability to save Steve when they were on that planet that I've forgotten the name of, his inability to join in with the fight in which Ozan got sucked out into space, and then his failure to get Ozan back in time, and then obviously Pax going unconscious and then killing Nero and not being able to do anything to stop any of them, and then the fight with Orvelus. All of this has just been sort of spinning through his brain, and to try and calm himself, he started just running through some basic sort of martial arts that he'd learned when he was younger. But he started noticing that whilst he was doing it, things started moving in his quarters that he didn't expect to be happening. And he started focusing more on that, and Jefferson accidentally leveled up into an adept. So instead of becoming a better hunter, he has developed some telekinetic abilities.
Every time I have a bad day, that happens.
I know, right? Like,
fucking hate it.
I get home.
You come home from work, you just open a
beer. Your boss has had a go at you.
And then shit starts flying off the walls.
Your TV just falls over and skids across the room.
It's like every goth's dream, you know, hiding in your bedroom and developing superpowers. You're not my real captain.
Is Jefferson wearing eyeliner now? Is that canon?
No, because...
Not on his face.
Oh, please say he's Tobey Maguire.
Oh my god, yes,
oh, when the Esposito movie inevitably happens, we're casting Tobey Maguire. Casting Jefferson. You heard it here first, folks.
Oh, guys, that ain't cool. I can move stuff with my mind. Also, this is the first talent-using character we've had, because I think everyone else has used...
He's calling you guys untalented.
Yeah, I am. Everyone else has used forging techniques, which
sounds like we're faking
different
it.
To talents, which, you know...
Yeah, when D4 does it, it's just sand and glitter up his sleeve.
They're not tricks, they're illusion!
Excellent. So, okay, so we've got some quite fun levels up there. So, the crew is currently aboard the Luciola, floating in inner space somewhere between Rith and Jaris. Aboard, Jefferson hasn't really been seen for several days after locking himself away following Pax's murder stroke mercy killing. And similarly, Damson has also not been seen in quite a long time and has been quite fleeting each time you have seen him quickly hurrying back off to his quarters near the engine room. Pax and D4, you've been keeping each other company, helping Prim out with the maintenance of the ship, drinking and hanging out with Celix for a couple of days. Prim's been down in the engines quite a lot, but she's been friendly each time you've caught her, specifically to you, D4. She get the feeling, Pax, that she's been a little colder to you, but like not openly hostile. She insists that if you're going up against the Shattered Tower, then the Luchador needs to be in kind of tip-top condition. Korchev has set up a bunk in a small room off the bridge. He's been working most of his waking hours on piloting the ship, keeping a low profile, sticking to the less frequented trade routes. Once or twice he's caught under the ship on the short-range scanner, but managed to steer well clear of it and avoid identification. The ship has been in a strange place recently. The death of Ozen and the kind of slander that you may or may not have committed against Venom Page has kind of cast a shadow over some of the crew, specifically Jefferson, Korchev and Prim, I guess. But, you know, you find yourself scattered around the ship. It's about 6 p.m. ship's time. Damson and Jefferson, you are in your quarters. D4 and Pax, you're in the mess having a quick drink, as you usually have been doing lately. So the ship is yours, guys, and how you want to immediately act on the ship is kind of up to you.
Let's drink some more.
Jefferson actually finally appears, and as Pax lifts his drink to his mouth, Jefferson uses the Prime Talent Tricky Fingers to take the glass out of his hand. Tricky Fingers is Mage Hand, by the way. But he takes it out of your hand.
Don't put your fingers anywhere near me.
And steals Pax's drink.
Oh, look who's never played a spellcaster before.
Oh, fuck. Why did we give him this? The DM should have disallowed this.
There's still time, don't worry.
So Pax
doesn't understand what's going on.
As you're drinking, this cup just flies out of your hands and flies across the room to Jefferson, who's got quite a smug look on his face.
Oh yeah, he's very smug.
The gravity's gone. Explain the comms. Korchev, the gravity's gone.
The gravity is fine. I'm looking at the instruments.
D4?
Looking at the instruments, and they're all still on the ground. The cello's there, the guitar... Sorry.
Yeah. Can we move to have these powers stripped from him, please? They've made him a menace.
don't worry. There'll be a lot of NPCs with the spell Silence memorized from now on. Cool, so what do you want to do?
Well, I look slowly over at Jefferson and I say, give me back my beer.
No.
At this point, an old, short man, grimy blue overalls, pushing a mop.
I pull out my gun and I point it at him.
I call my sabre into my hand.
I see you do mind, old Scruffy. My mistake.
How the fuck did you get on this ship, old Scruffy?
I'll tell you. And then
I shoot him. Scruffy,
I used uncanny dodge to as a reaction to if he hit, take half damage from the shot.
All right, well let's resolve this then.
I mean, yeah, you guys can resolve that.
24 to hit.
A hit.
Okay. I deal 11 damage, so that gets halved, I guess, to 6.
Yeah. Well, that was completely uncalled for, wasn't it? I click off the disguise. You idiot, what's the matter with you? I hear you practicing your magic kung fu in your room. I come in here with a disguise. How would I have got on the ship? We're in the middle of space. Idiot.
You know what? I stand by it.
Max immediately hides behind a chair. There's this devilry.
I turned to Max and I said, we've already seen him do this. He turned into Harrison Ford.
Oh, I just thought that was Harrison Ford turning up out of the blue. Like he does.
Exactly, you've all already seen me do this.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I was suspicious that it was you, but I mean, I can't not shoot you when I have any excuse to shoot you.
I hate you, and I'm going to remember that.
Cool, Zeus. By the way, I never did actually thank you for pulling me away from Orvelus.
No, you didn't. Now I sincerely regret doing that.
Okay.
I'm going to go up and snatch my beer out of Jeff's hand.
But seriously, though, Damson, thank you.
I sort of take a seat to D4 muttering.
As he goes to sit down, I use my power to push the chair away from him.
Can I make a dexterity check to grab the chair?
Yeah, absolutely. Go have fun with that.
That is a 19.
Yeah, you grab the chair. It is idiot. Only prime talent.
All right.
You are not Carrie.
Not yet.
I call up to Jefferson and say it's good to see you have your dorm, Jefferson, but what if we told you about firearms?
To point them at the robots?
Yeah, point them at the robot. That clearly wasn't a robot, that was a janitor.
Yeah, but he... Oh. No, okay, yeah, I got trapped there. Trapped by...
By your own illusion.
All right, fine.
Can't we all just say nice? That was nice.
You haven't learned how to fix machines yet, have you?
I have, actually.
I forgot that you could kneel easily.
Surprisingly, I found out I was better at fixing humanoids than I was machines. Mm. Who'd have thought for an engineer? But don't worry, I can patch you up in a pinch now.
So all we've gained here is we've lost D4 spell slot.
Yes.
And me, 3 points of damage.
No, 6 points of damage.
6 points of damage.
Oh, 6 points of damage.
Whilst D4's fixing Damson, I'm going to go on the intercom and say, Seelix, Prim, Korchev, can you join us for a little bit?
There's a slight static, like, yes, I will switch the Luciolo to autopilot and be right down.
That was 13 points of health back there, Damson.
Thank you.
And a second level spell slot.
Oof.
After a few minutes, Prim, Seelix and Korchev all turn up and they sort of stand around looking fairly expectant, you know, as if they're expecting some kind of big announcement. Why have you brought us all down here?
I know we talked a little bit about what we were going to be doing, but I feel like whilst we've been heading in that direction, we've not firmed up our plans, and I thought it's probably best to do that to decide where. I know we decided we'd do certain things, but we need to decide what order we're doing them in.
A recap is in order.
I'm pretty sure you didn't hear any of that.
Last time we spoke, I think we're either going to go see the Infinity Corps or that nice newspaper lady, or it was either that or go to the prison, I think.
Okay, so my thoughts on going to the reporter lady is we do need to do that because we need the money, but we kind of need her to agree not to not to broadcast the story until it's too late for the Shattered Tower to know about us coming. But we should probably do that quite early so that we can do other things whilst we upgrade this ship with stealth tech and whatnot.
Well, I'd sure be happy to have a bit of stealth tech on board.
All right. So here's my suggestion, guys. We log into the sim. We talk to Vadrilia. We sell her the story on the condition that she doesn't broadcast it for another, let's say, 2 weeks. Until we've done what we need to do, but she has exclusive rights to it.
We could actually withhold the evidence, tell her the story, and
we'll work something out so that she gives us money, but we don't have to give her everything yet. Thoughts, feelings?
We don't have to tip our hands too early.
Well, this is why we need her to agree not to.
And don't we need to get the architect of the Shattered Tower to give us information?
Yeah, but that's why we're going to the Infinity Corps, because we're going to get them to give us access.
Shouldn't we go to the Infinity Corps first, then?
They may be willing to help us.
Let's go there first and see if they'll upgrade the ship without having to pay on anyone.
Which is ideal.
In Infinity Corps is Earth's main army, not its only army, but...
Hate Earth.
Okay. Well, okay. It's slightly racist, but it's okay, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, he is a little bit racist.
Soldiers like me, though, so there might be some sway there.
They probably like you just fine anyway. It's more your hatred towards them that's the issue.
I mean, Korchev, you're military. You're a bit of a soldier. What do you think of Pax?
Pax?
I'd look at him dead in the eye. Do not waver.
Pax is a warrior, yes. A soldier?
I don't think he understands.
It's probably for the best.
I like you, Korchev.
Where am I piloting the ship to?
Well, Korchev, I feel like you're probably the best one, best equipped to answer that question.
Well, probably Earth. Earth is where the main Infinity Corps bases are.
Okay. And do the Infinity Corps have any sway over the Grey Spire prison?
Well, yes. Grey Spire is co-funded by the Infinity Corps.
All right, cool. Well, that's good. Let's go.
Who's the other co-funder?
The European Alliance.
The European Alliance.
Yes.
I thought working for Brexit.
The EU. The EA.
The EU was disbanded hundreds of years ago.
Was it about 2019? 2020?
The European Alliance, it is grouping of European countries who banded together to form defense network and such.
Wait, so Earth is separate from the European Alliance?
Well, Earth is a big place. There's many different groupings, confederacies, organizations.
Oh, the confederacies never go out.
Oh, yeah, of course. So the Infinity Corps and the European Alliance. Right, cool.
Yes, separate organizations.
So the Grey Spire is funded by the European Alliance and the Infinity Corps.
When you say the Grey Spire, you mean the Grim Spire.
Okay.
Yeah, Baltrine Hold.
To Earth!
Okay, yes.
I guess the conversation's over.
Yes, I think we're done here, apparently. As we all
leave the room, I kind of sort of like furtively like sort of look at everyone. When we're at the Infinity Corps, I am Scruffy. You understand me, Scruffy?
Who are you saying that to?
Everyone.
Why?
I am not going to tell anyone.
I mean, is it just me or does that just provoke more questions?
No more questions!
Well, I think we all have questions now, Damson.
I'm tempted to look into the sim to see if he's got any a bounty on his head.
Ah, you'll never find anything.
Okay, so Korchev, with a bit of a confused look on his face, heads up the stairs and towards the bridge. You're currently a little ways away from Earth, so you've probably got a little while on the ship if anyone wants to achieve anything or do anything.
I'm going to spend the entire time moving things out of people's reach as they go to pick them up.
Well, so it's an eventful couple of days where things just move around the ship.
I was going to say I spent the time trying to upgrade the ship as much as possible, but that's a complete waste of time.
Oh, no.
Every time I try and grab a spanner, it's gone now.
Yeah, so it seems like it's a fairly uneventful couple of days, apart from...
Poltergeist.
Yeah, apart from recent hauntings.
Can I try and do... Can I roll a performance check to try and impersonate Ozan as I move things?
Yes, but I'm going to have to insist that you do your best impression of Ozan's voice.
Oh, I need to try and remember what he sounded like.
Flagons!
Yeah.
Bring me an apron suit!
That was not even close.
On.
I am Ozan! Grenade! Grenade!
I mean, yeah, I'm okay with it. It didn't sound like him, but it's definitely what he would say.
I can't really remember what it sounded like.
Can while he's doing that, can we have a quick roll for Jefferson to see if he, you know, it kind of triggers some latent memories and the voice of Ozan starts haunting.
Do we have time for this?
Yeah, we do.
Can I just say, I rolled my performance check and I got a natural 20.
Okay, at one point somebody thinks, oh, that sounded like Ozan.
That's a haunting. That is a
full-on haunting.
So my really good impression has left me a little bit startled with myself, like I'm pretty sure that Ozan is partly possessing me.
That's the source.
Oh, that explains the telekinetic powers.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my love.
Who put this pottery wheel in the spaceship?
My darling.
Why is there a life-size poster of Patrick Swayze in here?
So, yeah, so you basically kick around the ship for a couple of days. Doesn't sound like anyone achieves anything too exciting other than moving a few wrenches out of D4's reach and reenacting scenes from Ghost.
Sounds pretty eventful to me.
I mean, yeah, it gets lonely in space. You pass several asteroids and gas giants, and as you get closer, you speed past the dusty red surface of Sol 4. And it's dotted with clusters of light sitting in famous domed cities around the poles. And you can see little crisscross networks pumping water up from the glacial ice caps across the surface of the planet. In the distance, you see a bright blue-green orb reflecting the light of the star. And you approach, bringing it in, the darkness of space seems to fade away. And into a light pale blue of the atmosphere's sky as wisps of cloud start part, revealing a large body of water. As you fly through the atmosphere in the distance along the coast, you see ruined skyscrapers poking through the water and out into the air, like kind of like the fingers of a drowning man reaching for help. And the water morphs slowly from a deep blue to a dark brown as waves crash against the 30th floors of these ancient buildings that have been submerged over the centuries. The windows have all been smashed out, and the dark concrete shelves of these buildings show absolutely no signs of life. As the Luciola flies further forward, the ocean disappears behind you, and you see a vast, unending swathe of desert. Occasionally, you see a small village clustered around dried-up lakes as the ship flies over them. And about after 10 minutes, you start to see signs of civilization. In the distance, nestled at the base of a huge towering mountain, a concrete wall raises into the sky. And it stretches for several miles in each direction. It must be at least 20 metres in height. Along the top, you see various guard posts and barbed wire that stretches the length of the wall. The wall curves round at its edges and forms a large perimeter around what looks to be a very pristine city. But you don't manage to really take in the details as your eyes are drawn up towards a large ring floating in the sky several hundred metres above the town, and it's white and glowing in the hot sunlight of the desert. And its smooth surface is scattered with hundreds of windows facing out in all directions from the edge of the circular craft. And every few seconds, a tiny dot, what you assume to be sort of like a surface-to-air craft, either flies into the centre of the ring or back out of it. Kortov lines up the Luciola and heads straight for the walled city, and he flicks a switch on his dashboard. This is a Foxtrot Sierra Luciola. Please be advised, entering IC Nairobi airspace from heading 046, requesting permission to land over. And there is there's a short pause, followed by a crackling voice coming back in from the terminal, saying, Luciola, this is restricted airspace. Please state your clearance immediately. Korchev goes back. Flight officer Rimas Korchev, clearance 6429. And there's a long pause, and a flashing message comes up on the console to Korchev's right saying, target lock detected. And Korchev lets out a bit of a sigh. But after a couple of seconds, the lock disappears and a voice returns on the console. Luciola, please adjust course to heading to vector 284 and adjust speed accordingly. You are cleared landing, strip 12. Do not alight the craft. Repeat, remain on the craft until the guard is in place. After a couple of minutes...
I say, maybe let's leave our weapons behind. We have no intention of fighting here, because let's face it, if we do, we'll lose.
You would lose.
So, I say we all disarm.
Not gonna happen.
He says we all disarm.
Pack, you can teleport your weapons to your hands anyway. What does it matter?
Just you. No one asks you.
Pax, if Jefferson's saying to disarm, then it's probably a disarm situation. And you have your special abilities. So if things go south, you can save the situation quite
quickly. What about
plus,
my guns?
You have your gun.
I can't call my guns to me.
I was referring to your guns, meaning your arms. Like, you're stronger than us.
Oh yeah. And then he just does the gun shout. Yeah.
Which one's
the gun? Port, huh? Oh, get out of the way. All right, Korchev, and slap him again.
Yes.
On that.
Yes, very, very strong. So, after a few minutes, the Luciola passes over the walls of the city, and below you can see bustling streets teeming with crowds walking up and down, going about the days, in a huge, huge contrast to the desert outside the walls. The ship, Korchev, brings it down slowly in a large chain-fenced compound near the east of the city. As you touch down, he says, off we go, I guess. I think it is possible to preempt that Infinity Court may have some questions for me. You know what, with me supposedly being dead and running around with a allegedly terrorist organization.
Well, before we pulled you out, you were also kidnapped.
Yes,
you can claim
yes.
Some mental distress. Like, you can claim mental distress. They can't really...
Yeah. Just don't mention the people you beat to death. I assume you beat people to death.
Ah, I have forgotten about that. Wow. Yes, thanks.
Never forget, Korcha.
I'm sure that we will be able to smooth over, but they might have questions, you know.
That's cool. Do you want to answer them, or should we answer them?
No, I will. They will not listen to you with, you know, protocol. They will want to hear from me. I will probably have some kind of debriefing. Celix sort of chimes in. She stood at the side leaning on the wall as usual, and she just says, I'm going to stay aboard the ship for a little while. No doubt they'll find me when they do a bit of a sweep, but I have to admit I have no interest in the welcoming party.
Celix, I'm suspicious of you because I know you're retired, you were in the Infinity Corps, but you seem very averse to talking to anyone from there. And I'm very curious. Oh, you don't need to tell me anything. I want you to know that I'm curious and suspicious of you.
Well, maybe one day we can talk about that. I mean, they're going to find me. There's a guaranteed protocol. As soon as you leave the ship, they'll have someone scanning it and sweeping it for all sorts of things. But I just have no interest in going on parade, if you know what I mean.
I've just remembered, we have a guy tied up in an elk.
Oh god, we've not fed him for days.
I absolutely forgot about him.
We also have a corpse of the real Venom Page.
Oh, we look super suspicious, guys.
We've not fed him for days.
We possibly should have thought about this before we landed.
Let's see what they say to it.
Could you roll anyone who's in the cockpit, like, for all this? Could you roll a quick perception check?
I'll do it.
Eight. I too have rolled, and I did quite well. Perception 20, not natural.
So, out of the window, you see a line of heavily armored troops sallying out of a set of double doors to the right of the courtyard. They run out of the concrete, weapons drawn, and they form a perimeter around the ship. And they point their weapons towards the Luciola. Korchev looks at you and says, we need to stay on board until that light turns green. And he points to a light on the wall, which is currently red.
Scruffy, how did we meet you? I feel like we should have our stories straight.
I'm pretty sure we just tell the truth. We went looking for an escape pod from the Callistus.
And found a...
Whoever was in the escape pod was missing and had been kidnapped by a gang. And we freed him. Are you okay with that story, Korchev? Because, I mean, technically it is exactly what happened.
No, I mean Scruffy.
Oh, he's the janitor.
Is Scruffy the janitor? Where did we find him?
He was the janitor on the Custis.
Why did we say he just came with the ship?
Like a feature, like air conditioning or windows.
Yeah,
it was previously on an Infinity Corvette. I'm assuming they'll have some sort of say what janitors were on board.
It was scrap. It was a project of the chief engineers. So
he kept a human on the ship.
Well, maybe. I mean, he's dead. She's dead. Sorry, she's dead. So
she can't talk about her modern slavery.
Yeah, basically, we can besmirch her all we like, and it's fine.
The janitor on the Callistus was called Deckard. Maybe you could pretend to be him.
Damson, you cool with being a scruffy Decker?
Sounds like a pun name.
If they don't look too closely to the files, maybe...
Yep, scruffy Decker, that'll do.
I'm curious, did you guys ever meet Decker?
No.
I don't think so, I don't remember the name. It wasn't the armourer, was it?
No.
No, that was Hurley.
Yeah.
Oh yes. Yeah.
The armorer who someone, I think it was either Pax or Jefferson, was weirdly sexist to.
No, it was Jefferson.
Yeah. Just sexually inappropriate.
Yeah.
I think he called her doll.
Doll or doll face or something like that.
Yeah. Sugar.
I was just intimidated her into giving him gravity boot.
Yeah, that happened.
And instantly none of us felt really comfortable about that, but I guess you know, not to play that down, but since then all the murder and, you know, assaults and, you know, life-changing injuries, and it kind of pales into insignificance, doesn't it?
It does. Was it Hurley's ship that we stole?
Yeah. Hurley owned the Luciola, yeah.
Oh yeah, we left it behind wondering why we'd blown a hole in the cargo bay as we flew off to safety and she died horribly.
Yeah. You met a few, but I think you met Dr.
Pike. You met a woman that punched Korchev, right?
Yes, you did. You did. That was...
She stole an escape pod. She probably died.
That was Selinsky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was Selinsky. You don't know what happened to Selinsky.
D4 tried joining in with the doctor, healing people in the medbay.
Yeah, that was Dr. Pike, I think.
That was like my first role, and it was terrible.
Yeah.
So, you know, setting a good precedent there.
Good times. And I think Pax and Ozan met some Lorendi and decapitated them.
Yes.
Yeah, we fell down a lift shaft. Classic time.
Gosh, haven't we
gone Those are the good old days.
We haven't learned a goddamn thing.
And we never will.
So, after a short while, the light outside the ship goes from red to green, and Korchev sighs and pushes himself up off his chair and says, "Hey, this is it, unless anyone has any other options."
This is probably it. Good luck, Korchev.
Just go in and tell best parts of the truth.
Scruffy agrees.
Who's coming off the ship? Is everyone just you four and Korchev?
Yeah, we probably shouldn't take out the bloody prisoner at this stage. We've starved.
Although we will probably have to explain that at some point.
Yeah, we should mention it, but probably not, you know, bring out this emaciated.
Okay, so as you leave the ship, you come down the ramp at the side of the Luciola, and you see about 30 soldiers pointing high-tech rifles at you, circling you on every side of the ship. The heat on concrete is almost unbearable as the warm floor radiates all of the heat back up at you. And you can see a slight haze above the ground in every direction. But you seem to be in the middle of a concrete courtyard surrounded by hangars and a few military buildings. There's a air traffic control tower in what can only be established as a Top Gun-esque establishing shot. As you look up as well, you can see the bright sun beating off the... Oh, he said it. Fucking hell.
I didn't even register that you said beating off me. You pointed out me. You said it.
Every time I say something like that, someone picks up on it and I just heard it. As you look up, the bright sun... is reflecting off the ring floating in the sky.
Is it beating off his ring? Sorry.
Does one beat off a ring?
Oh no, trust me, you can do it.
Maybe one beats off off a ring if you're the queen. Anyway.
Keeping that classy tone going, yeah.
A tall... officer walks up to the crew, dressed in a brown and black camouflage jumpsuit with a neatly tucked in belt and a beret on his head, covering slightly cropped, very shortly cropped black hair. He looks across all of you and his eyes rest on Korchev for a short while.
As he stood there, the black camouflage is super working. I'm sorry.
Looks at you quite indignantly.
The red beret really sets it off as well.
He looks back at Korchev and you can see him suppressing a reaction to you with probably what can only be described as professionalism. And he looks down at a piece of paper in front of him and he looks back up at Korchev and he says, "Well, this is interesting. You certainly match your file photos, Mr. Korchev, if you don't mind." As he says this, he gestures and two other soldiers walk up and almost link arms with Korchev, and he gestures off, and these two soldiers start to escort Korchev off to a set of doors on the right-hand side. And he looks back to Jefferson, being the one who's sort of giving him sass. "As for the rest of you, who are you and what are you doing with a stolen Infinity Corps vessel with a POW who was presumed dead?"
Wait, hang on. Oh, right, so the POW is Korchev. Well, it's a long story. Do you want us to start from the beginning? Are we going to do this out here? Would you like to... You're unimpressed? I can sense that.
I suppose we can move to somewhere a bit more accommodating in terms of temperature.
It is a very long story, and I feel like if we do this stood outside, but I know you guys, you're military guys, you're used to standing up outside for a long period of time. Our friend Pax here, he could do it too. But the rest of us, we're not built like you guys, so sitting down would be lovely.
Stand.
All this.
Follow me. And he...
A nice cold drink would be lovely.
He spins around and starts walking away and he signals a couple of soldiers to escort you behind him. And he takes you through a set of double doors and down a corridor. It's quite Spartan. It almost feels like a little bit like a high school corridor. It's got tiled floors, white painted walls, but there's not really much to it that stands out as a feature. And you are led into a plain office room with a table in the middle with four seats on one side and four seats down the other. There's a microphone screwed into the middle of the table and a large mirrored glass pane on one side of the room about 5 feet across. And he gestures towards the seats and says, "Please, do sit yourselves down."
Jefferson sits down.
Pax scrapes the chair the other way around and sits, on the other side of it.
If Mike is over the top of it.
Gruffy, awkwardly and quietly sits down at the back.
Now that we've got the prepubescent theatrics out the way, again, I like to think that laugh was in character as well. Who are you and what are you doing on my base?
So, are you guys happy with me to do this bit?
Yeah, I mean, what did we bring with, by the way? We just didn't bring weapons, so we've got everything else on us.
Presumably you have... You said you left your weapons, so presumably you have other things that would feasibly, be in your pockets or attached to your belts, maybe, or...
Mm-hmm. So if I said to you right now, I take out the horror arm I grabbed in the R&D facility and I throw it onto the table. Is that feasible?
Why not?
Depends where you're keeping it.
Jefferson, by the way, as this happens, is very taken aback. He's like, I'm really sorry. We're skipping over a lot of things.
He
apparently right now.
Right back and...
Where are your theatrics packs?
Can we just... I know that's going to raise a lot of questions. We'll get to them.
You're damn right it raises a lot of questions. Why are you bringing the arm into my base? That thing looks like it needs to be quarantined. Right, is it dangerous?
You are the army, right?
I mean,
Gruffy immediately regrets the decision to talk.
he stares at you.
And Gruffy averts his eyes.
And you are?
They call me Scruffy.
That's Scruffy.
Scruffy Decker.
Scruffy Decker.
Scruffy Decker, that is my name.
Okay,
roll a deception.
Oh, Lord. Oh, no. That is a... That is a 13.
Okay, well, before we get started, firstly, do you have anything on your person which I feel like we should know about before we continue? Secondly, I think you're all going to have to submit for processing.
Can we tell you who we are? Can we go through the story first, and then you can decide how much is relevant? We have a video file that you will want to see, but we need to sort of preempt it a little first.
How about we start with why you are returning a presumed dead officer in my corps?
So, Korchev, as you are probably aware, was serving aboard the HWBZ Callistus. We also were on board the HWBZ Callistus as private security. I guess not private security, you guys hired us. We were freelancers.
Yeah.
Korchev was in an escape pod. We escaped the destruction of the Callistus aboard the Neutrola. We trapped the one escape pod signal we could to a planet. I could not tell you for the life of me what that planet called.
He's writing all this down, by the way, as you say it.
And we proceeded to spend some time trying to figure out...
He's not writing it down. He's got a dictaphone. Come on. He's recording all this.
So we followed... We found that the escape pod...
Peloton. Peloton.
That was the name of the town, not the planet. But yes, Peloton.
He looks up at one of the soldiers by the door and says...
So, essentially, we found Korchev. He had been kidnapped by a gang called Golden Gang? The Gold Sashes.
Gucci Gang.
Gucci Gang. He'd been kidnapped by the Gucci Gang and was being forced into pit fighting, and we rescued him. But we were in a bit of a bind because you may recall a certain Venom Page announcing that...
What's this got to do with Venom Page?
Well, I mean, I assume you know about the Callistus and what happened with that. that it was destroyed. I don't know if you know much about the mission, which carried a sensitive bit of artifact and was intercepted. The artifact was stolen and the ship was destroyed. Venom Page then broadcast security footage of that implicated some of us in the destruction of the Callistus. That was... We found footage that we then released through a media corporation that suggested that Venom Page was actually behind the attack. We traced the shattered tower to a Revesis R&D facility. We went there. That was full of terrible, nightmarish things. The arm belongs to one of those nightmarish things. We continued to search the facility, and then we found the long-since-dead body of Venom Page, which had in its hand a video, which essentially it narrates the fact that Revesis has been overtaken by the Fist of Lorinjar. The Fist of Lorinjar created a clone of Venom Page, who they have been using to develop technology using this artifact to upgrade the Shattered Tower, which they are then going to use to conquer the galaxy. So we're kind of here to say, we found this out, please help us stop it from happening. I guess that... Anyone else got anything to add?
You must have seen me kick ahead.
I think you summed up this galaxy threatening situation.
Yeah. So I guess what we're doing is we're coming to you with this video footage with the body of Venom Page. I guess he's cool now.
I think again,
we're coming to you with all this in our hands, and we're you're welcome a little bit, I guess.
We also have the true body of Venom, the true Venom Page on our ship, on ice.
Yeah. To prove it and, all. Kind of reinforces our story, I guess. Korchev can back all of it up.
So, let me get this straight. You are freelancers employed on the Callistus. From what you're saying, I am now assuming you to be the members of the known terrorist organization known as the Epsilon Shift.
Alleged,
damn right.
Alleged terrorist organization. Shut up, Pat.
Damn right, Epsilon Shift. Not the right terrorist. There's one man's terrorist is another man's. We're not terrorists.
And you turn up here with.
Oh, we also have the artifact. Probably should have included that in the story as well. One that they're using to upgrade the Shattered Tower.
You have the artifact.
Yep. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have told him that. Hang on. Are you and not a clone?
Oh, crap. Yeah, I forgot about the clones.
I think I'm the one asking the questions here.
It's too late.
Oh, God, he's a clone!
If you are a clone, well done, you outwitted us. If you're not a clone...
Be wary of clones.
He slowly stands up and walks to the door.
Do you want to see the video that Venom Page recorded before he died?
He turns around and where's that?
Scruffy, have you got that?
We'll tell you as long as you give us some guarantees of our safety and fair treatment.
I think your negotiating position is significantly weaker than you imagine it to be.
I think he's right.
I mean, you say that. And yet here we are.
Just remember that we came to you. Open arm. And also, I have a background feature that means I gain respect and authority amongst soldiers and military factions.
I acted like a prick.
And I'm like, you may recognize me as a once famous bounty hunter. Wink, wink. Maybe I've got an autograph for your children if you...
No, don't do that. Wait. No one's ever...
Scruffy loves to clean.
And I'm made out of dust.
So...
Oh, and I forgot to mention, humans killed my wife and child.
Noted.
Oh.
Max, that's the thing you weren't meant to mention.
We were really explicit. Can we skip past who we are?
I'm going to try and make this as clear as possible. Tell me...
That would help. Very, very slow.
The recording is, and where the artifact is on your ship. Save us the effort, because we will find it.
I mean, I assume the artifact's in the cargo bay. There's a copy of the video in the databank of the Luchola. We all have a copy of it.
Good. Well, at least you're being compliant.
Play you a video right now, if that would help.
I turn to Jefferson and say... Scruffy can't continue the lying. In Scruffy's quarters, you'll find some computers.
Is this going to be about his search history?
It might be. Scruffy's done a terrible thing.
What's in the computer, Scruffy?
The video.
Wait.
Amongst other videos.
Oh, no.
Please be explicit. What am I going to find in this computer?
Please don't be explicit. Okay, so the video of Ellen Page is in Scruffy's computer. Scruffy's quarters are near the engine room. And the artifact... I guess we put it in the cargo... I mean, I didn't really pay any attention. Is it in the cargo bay, guys?
The artifact is also in Scruffy's quarters.
So, okay, there you go.
He steps out of the room and he looks at one of the two MPs stood by the door. Nobody leaves this room or goes in without my say-so. And the three of them step out and close the door behind them.
Can I just do... I want to see if there's anything suspicious about him that would ring alarm bells for Jefferson, like, in response to...
Oh, actually,
like when clones were mentioned...
I've got a specific thing called Expert Interrogator that gives me plus half of my level to Insight, Intimidate, and Persuade.
Okay.
So could I do an Insight check?
Yeah, you can think back on that conversation, I think.
So that's an 19 Insight check.
So you get the feeling that he is a very professional soldier, as in like a professional soldier, not just somebody who is trained in killing, but is trained in the etiquette, the military way, following orders to a T and doing his duty. So, but you understand that the situation that he has been presented with is quite unorthodox. So it's quite hard to get a read on him. However, you don't particularly get the feeling that there's anything untoward at the moment.
Can I just awkwardly, like, stand here, they are at the door?
They're on the outside of the door.
Oh, are they? Is there a window?
There is, yeah.
I'll just knock on it and wave at them.
They don't react.
Did they take my horror off?
They're still on the desk.
I take that back and bag it.
I hope that we arrive on the Shattered Tower. We come face to face with whatever his name is that's running the Fist of Orange Jar, and you just throw a horror arm at him without saying anything. That's what I hope.
Was it Samir? I'm looking through my notes.
Zemir Erebos.
Yeah.
It was Zemir Erebos. You are left in this room for quite a significant amount of time. And nothing happens for quite a long time, actually, as you're sat around and you've essentially been left to your own devices in this room. After half an hour, you hear a bit of a scuffling noise coming from out the door. And past the window, you see two soldiers grabbing Prim under the arms and carrying her down the corridor as she kicks off, going, you get off me! I ain't done nothing!" And they carry her off down the corridor past the window. After
hell with it.
Pardon?
I'm going to try and pick the lock on the door.
Yeah, okay. You can do that. So do you want to roll on that? So be your dex plus proficiency, I'm assuming.
90.
So yeah, so this isn't a secure cell per se. It's just a sort of interrogation room. So the lock does quite simply click open.
Cool.
Jefferson, you are, as you see Damson picking this lock, you are fully aware that there are two guards stood directly outside this door.
Yeah, I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, we'll just let them carry...
I get what you're saying. It is uncool of them to do that. There's very little we can do about it.
Oh, there's plenty I can do. I didn't hide any of my weapons. I've got them with me.
I can kill these guards.
You can kill these guards. You can kill these guards. But we are in a military base.
We didn't come here to kill anyone.
Kill all these guards.
Yeah, I'm sure you could, Pax. I'm sure you could. But the more people we kill, the harder it is to convince them that we are on their side and need their help.
So you're
and the more likely they are to just Pax, die here and the galaxy falls under the sway of this orange jar. Just sit the fuck down. Like, Prim's not done anything wrong. They're not going to do anything to her. They're just going to ask her some questions.
They did not do anything to her.
If they do anything... then we kick off. But at the minute, all they've done is taken her off the ship, and she's objected.
So before I sit down, let me get this straight. Do you think I could kill everybody in this base, yes?
Yes, Pax, but you can kill more Shattered Tower.
Yeah, exactly. And Pax, they're the ones that have pissed
you off. Pax sits down, slowly. Good. As long as you've got that straight.
Jefferson turns back to Dampton and says, so you pick this lock, you can get out, but Pax isn't going with you, I'm not going with you, D4's not going with you. You'll go out there on your own to achieve nothing. For a smart guy, that is a dumb move.
Damson, Scruffy, I don't want Prim to be harmed either, but we should play it cool for now.
How sure are we that he's not a clone or whatever the hell?
You're the interrogator. You tell us.
Fine, we'll wait.
All right. I lock the door again and just wave at the guards.
I slap Jefferson's hand away before he can do that, because if they realise that we've unlocked the door...
Okay, my bad. That's a fair point. Fair point.
Well, I mean, extra brownie points for us if they think they left it unlocked.
Yep.
So, after about another 15 minutes, there's a click at the door, and it opens to show the captain who was interrogating you about an hour or so earlier. And he turns to one of the guards by the door and says, why wasn't this door locked? Who's been in here? And they look a bit confused. I'll deal with you two later. And he walks in.
Excellent.
And he shuts the door behind him.
And locks it.
And leaves it unlocked. He sits down, he gestures to the table, please do sit down.
Jefferson sits. I assume we have like the exact same scene again, where Scruffy sits quietly in the corner, Pack sits like Riker, and Jefferson and D4 sit normally.
I can't sit down.
I like twist the chair like a few more rotations, so it squeaks extra loud.
So, we've been through the story that you've given us. We've spoken to Remus and.
Wait, hang on, who?
Korchev. I mean Korchev.
Yes. Korchev, the man you say you rescued from...
I never asked his first name.
Yeah, wait, his name's Remus?
Yes.
Ah.
We get very easily sidetracked. Please just try and ignore us as much as possible.
What did you do with Prim?
Prim is being questioned in another room, similar to yourselves. We found her... hiding in the engine rooms, and she assaulted one of my soldiers with a pipe wrench.
Good old Prim.
He looks like he's going to need stitches and several weeks off duty.
Wait, several weeks for being hit with a pipe wrench?
Like your soldier may have walked into a pipe.
It sounds like your soldier's got a nice leave of absence.
She was shouting something about it, being her ship and not to touch her her engine.
She is very defensive, to be fair. That's kind of our bag. I guess we should have warned her and you.
We also found one Claire Seelix.
What's the deal with her? Like, she seems very nervous about seeing you guys.
Seelix's relationship with the Infinity Corps is confidential and not really what we're here to be focusing on.
But just by saying that, you've made me infinitely more I'm going to annoy her so much.
You have to understand, they know less than we do. We basically drag them into this.
And believe me, people that know less than we do in the universe are very rare.
Quite. So, we've run your story through our databases and tried to corroborate as much of the information as possible. As I said, Korchev has backed you up on most elements.
Good old Remus.
We found the artifact, and how you would even know about the artifact's existence in the first place also seems to corroborate quite an amount of your story. The transponder logs in your ship, or should I say Othel Hurley's ship, corroborate the story.
The late Othel Hurley's ship. Show some respect. I'm sorry.
It's my ship.
I'm afraid, actually, that the ship belongs to the Infinity Corps as property of... Quartermaster Hurley, in the event of her death, it resorts back to the core, given that it was a core vessel.
Contentious, but okay, go on.
So, against my better judgment, what I'm trying to say is after seeing the video and after looking at the files and tracking your ship from the Callistus' location to Kortush to Rith to the facility, which, as far as I can tell, no longer exists, but we do have a registered property there for Revesis. Against my better judgment, what I'm trying to say is, we believe you.
Hooray!
Now,
despite our demeanor, we are genuine with our goals here, and I think our goals align. We don't want the Shattered Tower to decimate the galaxy.
Now, before we get to that, and believe me, we will get to that, I have here Jefferson Knight. We have Pax Andromeda, D4T4. I was under the impression you were travelling with one Matakai named Ozan.
He resides within a burning star.
It's what he would have wanted.
Yeah, we were attacked by Revesis, he was killed.
Whilst I am sorry for your loss, that leads me to you, Mr. Scruffy.
Please, just call me Scruffy.
We have no record of any Mr. Scruffy aboard the Callistus, so please do tell me, where have you cropped up from?
Now, you see, that's a real funny story. It all starts 16 years ago, and at this point, Damson goes into a very long story that as you hear each part of this story, you find yourself nodding along, and it all seems to make sense. And it's one of those stories that come from, you know, the very, very old, where when you replay it back in your head a couple of hours later, you realise it didn't really go anywhere, and you're more confused now that you've heard the story.
Yeah, make a deception roll, or a performance check, I'm fine with either.
That is a 16, and that pretty much brings us to now.
He nods and looks a bit confused and says, okay, well, we'll have to get you set up with some kind of ID. We can't have you walking around a military base with no registered identity. So the rest of you are free to use the base as you wish until such time it is that you go off to find the Shattered Tower. And
what about our compatriots?
Prim and Celix will be released alongside you.
And Corchet
has an ongoing service with the Corps, and whilst we are very grateful for you for bringing him back to us, he must now resume active duty with the Corps.
I feel he could serve well in the position he's been fulfilling so far.
Like we said, there's a reason we came here. I mean, you can probably put up the basic schematics of the Shattered Tower from the sim yourself, and I imagine you probably already have. We can't do this just us, and this isn't really just our fight. We came here to ask for your help in a couple of different ways, and I'll be honest, you can choose which ones you want to use, but there's two key things we need. One is we need you to help us attack the Shattered Tower, because, I mean, you've seen our ship. If we just fly that towards them, they're going to blow us out of the sky. And the other is we need access to the architect of the Shattered Tower, who is currently a resident within the Grey Spire.
I am familiar with Mr. Naru. Okay, let me think. Well, firstly, I mean, the first thing that I have to say about this is what you're asking me to do here is declare war on the Lorendi Imperium.
It wouldn't be the Lorendi Imperium, it would be a Splinter
Cell. That is not how the Imperium would see this. What you're asking me to do is, on behalf of the entirety of humanity, is declare war on a superpower in the galaxy.
Would I be able to do a law check to establish through a range of obscure legal precedents that this would be more of a police action rather than a declaration of war?
I mean,
I like it.
Talk me through your thinking there. Why would it be a police action?
Mostly because it would be funny to hear a set of legal precedents come out of a dodgy old janitor.
Yeah, okay. It's not going to be easy, but yeah, okay. I'll let you give that a go.
Oh, that would be a 14. So much in law. Yeah, that's a 14.
So you come out with a series of legislation, protocols, revisions, constitutional rights, and
an obscure reference to the Balawick of Guernsey.
Birdlaw.
And he looks at you a little bit confused as to where all of this is coming from, seemingly perplexed by the deep legal knowledge of this janitor who nobody really knows where he came from.
I conclude by saying Scruffy has a lot of time to read on the ship.
And he says, whilst some of this may be true or not, it would take months to put together. Legal proceedings, thousands and thousands of credits, legal teams, court cases, tribunals, Interpol in space, Spacetopol, who are based in Sevastopol.
Sorry, we haven't taken your name so far.
Oh, my his name.
Major?
My name is Captain Mwangi.
Captain, I realise we're asking you to declare... It seems like we're asking you to declare war on the Lorendian period, and that may well be the outcome of this action. But here's the thing. Whether or not you declare war on them, the Fist of Lorenjara is about to declare war on the entire galaxy. And the Lorendian are probably going to back them up if it looks like they're winning. So whether or not you declare war on them is a bit of a moot point.
We've been at peace, a fragile peace, but... A fragile peace with the Lorendi Imperium since the Keshite Wars.
Right, but that's fair. But I assume you know who the Fist of Lorenjara are.
Only in passing.
But you know, you are aware that they exist and that they are fanatical. Now, put a weapon of mass destruction in their hands and they will use it. They use it, the Lorendi Imperium, I'm fairly certain we can all agree they're a little bit aggressive. And if a faction of them starts to win a war, they're going to back them up. So whether or not you decide to go to war, the war's going to happen.
He nods and you can see, you know, he's understanding the sense in what you say.
And Captain, say Lucio there is not an important ship to the Infinity Corps, surely. You've got stronger, better vessels out there.
Hurley's reports, I'm surprised it even flies.
Precisely. So if that ship were to, say, be released from the Corps with its crew and perhaps a few upgrades, it wouldn't be a declaration if Lucio were to take some sort of action against the Shattered Tower.
I could...
Minimum, that's what we'd like. Maximum. I guess we're asking you for
a while. Full military support, but whatever you're willing to offer.
I could potentially run this up the chain of command. There is potential that we could put some ghost teams on this.
Also, I mean, even if you don't go to war with the Lorendi, even if you do not do this. I mean, I feel as though the story is going to be out at some point that this is happening. We have the evidence.
This evidence should not seem...
And when you've not acted first, that's going to look bad on you.
I mean, I will admit, from what we've seen on the ship and on the recordings, the evidence is fairly overwhelming. We...
Just so you're assured, we have a fallback. We have a backup.
Let me...
We came to you first for a reason.
Let me speak to my superiors. This is far above my level of authority. I will the case and see if there is any overt or covert support that the Infinity Corps can help with.
Would you like to send one of us with you?
I think at some point that will be almost necessary. But I will speak to them first.
Here's the thing, though. How long is it going to take? I just need an estimate, because there's a time limit on this.
I mean, I assume you know how bureaucracy can be, but I will do this now. I will do this today, and...
Can you just take the little exclamation mark it as important?
I hate when
like,
people do that. I'm like...
I know, because 9 times out of 10, it's not
like,
important.
I'll determine whether it's important or not, you know?
Can we have a service-level agreement of at least 3 working days? Of a maximum of 3 working days in that.
I feel that's fair.
And can I check? We are now free to roam to, I assume, accessible points of the base. I mean, I'm not assuming that we can go to your top secret, but can we use your base? Can we use the sim?
Yes, There is a fully equipped sim suite on board, and I will give you basic level clearance for the base. That will include quarters, the mess, conference rooms, any of the open areas that you may need to go to. I'll also make the armory and quartermaster available to you for requisitions should you need them.
Oh, that's interesting.
And our crates.
And your crew. Korchev has his clearance reinstated regardless. I must insist, however, that until we've gone through full biometric processing of your janitor friend here, that his clearance will remain minimal. It's nothing serious. It'll only take a few hours, but we need biometrics.
Scruffy is sure that check the record thoroughly. You will find some of Scruffy.
In the Infinity Core or the wider...
Scruffy Decker should be on your system.
Let me look that up, and for the now, I'll give you basic level clearance for the base.
Thank you, Captain. I realise we've come to you with a lot. I realise you've probably not faced a story, I guess, like this before, so I appreciate that you have taken the time to listen, and please just do what you can. Like, we can't do this
and
without the Infinity Core.
I would implore you to keep this confidential. News like this of an potential impending war or hostilities could spark a chain of reaction of events that could cause millions of deaths.
Yeah.
Okay.
But again, no action will cause more than millions of deaths.
Right. I see what you did there. Yes. I've already said that I'm committing to this.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's
we know basically no appeasement.
I will.
It doesn't.
I'll send word for you as soon as I hear back. And he stands up and walks out the room.
Do you have a bar here?
There is a recreation room with a bar.
Coolsies.
Excellent.
Thanks a lot, Captain.
He steps out and he speaks to the two guards by the door. I've given these clearance for the base. You two, I want you in my office tomorrow morning to talk about this lock situation. And he walks off.